Amen. Amen. If you got your Bible there with you, open up with me tonight to the last book in the Bible. We're going to be in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, and if you have any trouble finding it, open up to the back cover of your Bible, or rather don't open the back cover of your Bible, and turn forwards a little ways, and before too long, you will wind up in Revelation chapter 21. Of course, the second to last chapter in all the Word of God. And I love the book of Revelation. Now, I know I've said that before. Of course, we've taught on it about maybe 2 or 3 years ago. We taught on the book of Revelation. And I probably told you a few times back then. But let me just go ahead and say it again if I hadn't said it in a while. I love Revelation. You say, why? Well, I like to see how things are going to wind up. You know, you get to looking at the here and now, things don't look very good. You get to looking at mankind's past, things don't look very good. By the way, even looking in the future, it don't look very good. But for one who's put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, hey, friend, everything's going uphill. It might get rough down here, but we have nothing but God's blessing and nothing but God's presence to look forward to. And so I like this book of the Bible. I enjoy it because you get to see how things are going to wind up. Now, just to give you kind of an overview before we get into our text, way back in about Revelation chapter 3 and into chapter 4, you see the rapture of the church, and that's one of the great reasons why I believe the rapture is prior to the tribulation, is because that's the way it is chronologically right here in the book of Revelation. And so you see the rapture of the church way back there in about chapter 3, chapter 4, and then right after that you see 7 years of tribulation that will take place on this earth in the future. Now, if the rapture occurred tonight, I don't know that the 7 years would begin immediately, but they certainly could begin immediately. And for 7 years, this world will go through great tribulation. The Antichrist is going to take over, and the Bible tells us all about it right here in the book of Revelation. And of course, we also see in this book of the Bible that at the end of those 7 years, Jesus Christ will return to this earth. Amen? And He doesn't return to be crucified again. He doesn't return as the Lamb wants it. He returns as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. And He stomps out the armies of the Antichrist there at the Battle of Armageddon. And having done that, Jesus walks into the city of Jerusalem. He sits down there on the throne. And He is King of kings and Lord of lords, ruling over this earth and on this earth for 1,000 years. That's what we call the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And at the end of that millennial reign, we've come to chapter 20 here in the book of Revelation. Now, we're not going to read there, but we're just bringing ourselves up to chapter 21. In chapter 20, the millennial reign comes to an end, and you have what is called the Great White Throne Judgment. That is, of course, the judgment for those who are lost. That is a judgment. That is their last opportunity to pour out all of their excuses and all of their alibis for why they rejected Jesus Christ. And the Bible said there at the end of chapter 20 that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But I want to focus your attention tonight on something far better than that. Far better than anything else we've talked about so far this evening. Amen. See, in the very next chapter, the Lord makes all things new. He makes a new heaven and a new earth and a new home where we will live with Him forever. And I want to show that to you very quickly. I want to read the Word of God beginning here in Revelation 21 and verse 1, if you'll look there with me. And the Bible says in verse number 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." Amen for that. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You for this precious promise that we have in Your Word. That, Lord, we can know exactly where we're going, not only when we die, but, Lord, where we're going to spend all of eternity. And, Lord, I'm so thankful for that verse we've just read this evening that said there that we will be Your people and that You'll be right there with us and You're going to be our God throughout all eternity. And, Lord, I just ask tonight, Father, maybe there's some saint of God in our midst. And, Lord, maybe they've just grown a little cold on You. Maybe they have become a little bit complacent. Maybe they've lost their joy about our heavenly home. Lord, I pray You might stir that heart tonight. Lord, I need You to stir mine. Lord, I need You to encourage me. And Lord, I need You to encourage my brothers and sisters in Christ tonight. Now, Lord, just bless us. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Guide my thoughts and my words that I might only say that which would be pleasing to You. For I ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Amen. And amen. Amen. Within every language on this earth, there are certain phrases and certain words that are used to greet someone and also when you part from someone. Obviously, every one of us in here tonight, I believe we speak English. Amen. That's why we're not talking in tongues or nothing like that. That's why we're not going in an unknown tongue. We're going to talk in English. We're reading out of an English Bible tonight because we are English-speaking people. And more often than not, when you greet somebody, you say one of several phrases. You might say hello or hi or how you doing or how's it going today or what's up, man? Hopefully, maybe you're not saying that one, but that's one thing some people say. Amen. And then, of course, when it comes to departing from someone, more often than not, you're going to say bye or see ya or, well, hope all goes well. Or you might even, if you're real formal, you might even say something like farewell, my friend, or something along those lines. But we say those things always in a positive context, don't we? You see, when you go to somebody and you say hello, that comes from the root word of hailing somebody. You know what it means to hail? That means to lift somebody up, to lift them and to exalt them. In other words, when you say hello, you're treating somebody with respect. When you go to somebody and you say goodbye, you're not just saying it flippantly. What you're literally meaning when you say that is you're telling them, I hope things go well for you. I hope you have a good rest of your day, right? And of course, we mentioned that word farewell. You know, all that simply means is when you leave, when we depart, when we go our separate ways, I hope that you fare well. I hope things go well for you. See, what I'm saying is more often than not, whether you really get along with the person or not, you probably give them a pretty positive, kind greeting, and you probably give them a fairly positive and kind farewell. And yet occasionally, you might come upon somebody you don't want to be all that nice to. Amen? I mean, I hope you don't do it here at Ball Road Baptist Church, but occasionally, you might have somebody you don't want to express kindness to when you're departing. Maybe they have done you wrong. Maybe they've run your name through the mud. Maybe they've been particularly rude to you. Maybe they have mistreated you or mistreated your family or your loved ones. And so you want to find a word. You want to find something that you can say to let them know, I don't ever want to see your dirty face again. I don't ever want to have to think about you. I want you out of my sight. Now, we don't use this phrase very much anymore, but it is a good English phrase that's used, and that is the phrase, good riddance. See, when you say good riddance to somebody, what you're saying is, I don't like you. I don't want to be around you. I don't want to see your face or hear your voice ever again. Good riddance to you. Well, as I look here at this text, it occurs to me that John begins here as he's seeing this heavenly vision, as he's called literally up there to the third heaven, and he sees these things going on. He begins by telling us all of the great things that will be present in that city, right? He says, a new heaven and a new earth and a new city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. Praise the Lord for that. He goes on there to about verse number 3. And in verse 3, I like it. He says right there, God's going to be there. And His people are going to be there. By the way, that's you and me, friend. And He said, He will be our God, and we will be His people all throughout eternity. Glory to God tonight for that. He's telling you all the great things that are going to be present in eternity. Amen. And yet then he stops in verse 4. And he turns his attention the other direction. And he doesn't tell us in verse 4 the things that are going to be present, but the things that are not going to be present. And can I just say tonight that I am just as thankful for the things that won't be in heaven, for the things that won't be in New Jerusalem, for the things that won't be in the eternity of a believer. I'm just as thankful for those as I am what God has prepared for us in that glorious place. And so tonight, I want to look here at these things and I want to say good riddance to them. I want to say that one day that you and I as believers, we're going to look back on some things that were present in this life. We're going to look back on some awful things that took place in this world. And we're simply going to stand out there on the edge of eternity and say, good riddance to you. I'm done with you. I'm never going to see you again. I'm never going to have to stare at your ugly face. Good riddance to those things. And so tonight I want to preach to you on that subject, good riddance. Good riddance. Now the first thing I believe that you and I as Christians are going to be able to say good riddance to, as he tells us right here in verse 4, we're going to say good riddance to our tears. Praise God for it. Look right there at verse 4 at the very beginning of the verse. The Bible said there, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, y'all forgive me for this, but I still remember the song came out years ago. I believe it was Eric Clapton. Called Tears in Heaven. Of course, he wrote that, I believe, for his little boy that had died. And he talked about the tears in heaven. Of course, you pick up that hymnal, and occasionally you'll find a song or two referencing that there will be no tears in that place, no tears in heaven, no tears up there, or something along those lines. And yet, I want to say something to you. I want to be very careful in saying it. I don't want to confuse you, but I want to make something clear that up until that point right there, there is the opportunity for tears even in heaven. You see, it's not until that new heaven and new earth are created that God wipes away all the tears from their eyes. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, preacher, what could there possibly be for us to sorrow about? What could there possibly be for us to shed tears over when we go to the wonderful place that is heaven? And yet I'll show you just a few things real quick. You see, for one thing, when we get up there to glory, we're going to have to go to a thing that the Bible calls, an event that the Bible calls, the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I've talked to you all about it in here several times, and I won't go over it for very long, but suffice it to say that the judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment to determine salvation. That's already been decided for a believer, amen? But it is instead a judgment to determine rewards in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's a judgment where as a believer, you will either attain a reward or you will suffer loss. Amen. And the Bible describes it as a fire that will be lit to our works to determine what we did for Christ and why we did it. Amen. Now he said over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 or chapter 5, I believe, he said over there that some works would come up as wood, hay, and stubble, and they'd be burned up and made into nothing. And yet some Christians would have works that would turn into gold and silver and precious stones, and that they would achieve an reward to be cast at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking for that crown, friend. Amen. And yet, can I just say tonight that I believe that most of us, and I do put myself in that grouping, I do believe that most of us are going to have some tears to shed at that judgment seat of Christ. I believe some of us are going to have to sit there and watch as our works are burnt. We're going to have to sit there and say, oh, I wish that I had done it with the right motive. I wish that I had served Him more. I wish that I had given Christ more of my life. And I believe there's going to be some tears at that judgment seat of Christ. But then I tell you, there's another judgment coming. Praise God, we're not in that judgment. We're taking part in that judgment. And yet it's the great white throne judgment that we looked at just a moment ago right there in Revelation chapter 20. And if you look there, look about verse number 11 here in Revelation chapter 20. The Bible says there, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Now look down there about verse 15. The Bible said, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You say, who's that? That's some of your loved ones. Hey, that's some of your neighbors. That's some of your co-workers. Hey, that's some of your schoolmates. Amen. That's some of your classmates that you go to school with. That is some of your friends. That is some of your enemies. That is some people you walk by on the street every day of your life who are dying and headed for hell, and they're going to wind up eternally in a lake that burns with fire and brimstone. You can't tell me for a minute, Brother Ross, I know you ain't saying it, but nope, they can't tell me for a minute. There won't be some tears on that day. Oh, I kind of believe there'll be some Christians, hey, myself being one of them, have to sit there and look there at the opportunities that God gave us to lead some soul to Christ. And yet we didn't take the opportunity. And now that soul is screaming as they fall into a lake of fire. Hey, some of us are going to have to look at people we prayed for and we begged God to save them, and yet they rejected Christ time and time and time again. And we'll have to stare down upon them as the angels of God take them and cast them into a lake that burns with fire and brimstone. I believe, friend, I believe seriously, there's going to be some tears going down the faces of the saints. And yet, can I say how glad I am tonight that it doesn't end there? I'm glad the book doesn't end in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. I'm glad that there's a Revelation 21 where there's a new heavens and a new earth. I'm glad that there's a new Jerusalem. And I'm glad that there's a God who will wipe away all tears from our eyes. Oh, friend, that's just like the God I know. That's just like the Lord Jesus to take one of the lowest points, one of the most awful events in all of human history, and to make the very next thing one of the greatest. And I tell you what He's going to do. He's going to take some of those crying and weeping saints, and He's going to wipe away the tears. You say, what are we going to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to say, good riddance to you. Good riddance to our tears. Say, friend, we're going to say good riddance to those tears, but I'll tell you another thing. We're going to say good riddance to our pain. Amen. Look there at the verse, about halfway down the verse. He said right there, nor crying, verse number 4, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Now, some of you in here tonight, you could teach me a thing or two about pain. I'll be the first to admit it. I'm 32 years old. I am in fairly good health. And I have got nothing to complain about. But can I just say one thing? I have been told by older people all my life, since I was a little boy, I've been told by older people, just wait. And can I say one thing? Now, I ain't hurting near as bad as some of y'all in here. I would not begin to say that. Some of y'all going through things I have not even begun to experience, not even touched on that kind of pain. And yet, can I say to you tonight that when I heard that when I was 6 and 7 and 8 and 14 and 15 and 16 years old, I thought to myself, you're crazy. Yeah. I could literally go play football or baseball or basketball, play a whole game, go home, run around the neighborhood playing with, ride my bicycle, get up the next day, go to school, come home, play again, and not feel sore one bit. Hey, wasn't that nice? Somebody say amen to that. Yeah. I'll just go ahead and tell you now. I go to work, and I don't run at all.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, they don't pay me enough to run. Amen. I don't run one bit. I barely do any physical exertion whatsoever. Thank the Lord for it. But I tell you what I do. I stand all day long. I stand. You don't sit down at all. Stand all day long on a concrete floor. And I'll just tell you, when I come home at night, now I'm not saying I ran, played a football game or a basketball game or a baseball game. I'm saying I stood all day. That's it. And when I come home, you know what I do? I get those shoes off. And I put those feet up.
Amen.
And I do my absolute best not to move again until bedtime.
Amen.
You say, why? I hurt. Yeah. I'm sore. Yeah. My feet are sore. Right. My legs are sore. My knees are sore. Sometimes my back's even sore. Amen. Now, I can't imagine what some of you older ones are doing. If I'm 32 and it's already hurt a little bit, I can't imagine what some of y'all 62, 72, 82 are doing.
Yes.
And yet I know you're hurting. Some of y'all in here tonight, you've got back pain. Some of you got neck pain. Some of y'all, you're dealing with sickness and it is ravaging your body. It hurts. If you don't have the medicine, if you don't have the pills that the doctor gives you, then you seem to hurt every single moment. And can I say one of the hardest things to do as a pastor or even just as a Christian in general is to comfort somebody who is in constant pain. I tell you what the hardest thing to do is. I can go in and I can tell somebody I'm praying for you. But can I be honest? I feel inadequate. Now, prayer is not inadequate, is it? Y'all pray for me. Prayer is not... God is the... Listen, He's the great physician.
Amen.
He can do far more than the doctor can do. Right. He can do all things.
Right.
And yet, I'll be honest, sometimes all I can say, I'm praying for you.
Right.
I'm sorry you feel this way.
Yeah.
I wish this hadn't happened.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that you're hurting.
Yeah.
Maybe the doctor can give you something, make it feel...
Mm-hmm.
You can say all those things, but you know what that person really wants? You know what you really want when you're hurting? You just want it to stop.
Amen. Amen.
Now, I tell you something I can't do. I can't make your pain stop. I can't take it away, and I can't promise you it'll ever stop. Not in this life. But can I tell you something that maybe might just help you a little bit? Can I tell you something? This is something I can promise you. I might not be able to prescribe something like the doctor can. And I might not be able to go down there to the pharmacy and get you anything like the pharmacist can. But can I tell you, I've got something far better. And that is that one of these days, there will be no more pain to ever have to. Not another sore joint. Not another hurting back. Not another disease. Not another trial. Not another fall. Not another broken bone. Praise God. No more pain. We'll say good riddance to that old pain. I tell you, when we go to that place, we'll say good riddance to our tears. We're going to say good riddance to that old pain. But praise God, we're going to say good riddance to death. Look down there once again at verse 4. He said, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." And I like it. "There shall be no more death." You want to know the greatest problem this world's got? Can I tell you? Listen, even the lost man knows it. The greatest problem they've got, they can't quit dying.
Amen.
The silliest thing in the world is somebody talking about education saving us and the news media saving us and the president saving us and science saving us when they hadn't been able to save anybody and they can't even save themselves.
That's right, brother. Preach it, son.
I'm going to tell you something. Albert Einstein's a pretty smart fellow as far as the world's concerned. He is worm food tonight.
That's right. Bless him, Lord.
He's less than worm food. They already ate him.
Yeah, he probably ate him.
You say, "That's mean, preacher. That's kind of uncouth." It's the truth, amen.
Amen, brother.
I'm going to tell you something. Old Freud, they said, "Oh, he's so brilliant. He has revolutionized the psychiatric, psychology, the whole field. I mean, he has completely revolutionized it in his day." You want to know where he is right now? D-E-A-D, dead.
Amen.
And yet they say, "Well, science will someday lead us to... Well, we can live longer. Look, we live 10 years longer today than we did 100 years... 10 years longer today than we did 50 years ago." That's what they hang their hat on.
"Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, look, we've got enough pills. If you got enough money to buy the pills, you can live longer." Yeah, and you cost more too.
Right.
Amen? Yeah, I tell you, the whole family going to debt just trying to keep Papaw. I'm telling you, y'all get upset with me. I'm telling you the truth. The world's going on about, "Oh, science will cure it. If we can just get a pill, if we can just find the fountain of youth, if we can just do this, then we can make men live longer. Then we can take care of this problem of death. Then we can keep people living forever." And they've not been able to do it one time, but I know somebody who has. Can I just say tonight, I know somebody who has. I remember a little fella back there in the Old Testament. The Bible doesn't say too much about him. It just says he walked with God and he was not. I know a fella by the name of Enoch that didn't die.
Right.
I know a fellow back there in the Old Testament by the name of Elijah. That whirlwind came through and that chariot of the Lord came through and took him up.
Amen.
And he never once tasted of death up to that point. I'm telling you, friend, I know some people that didn't die. And I know one that though he was dead, yet he lives to this very day. I know one that though he was dead and buried and in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights, the Bible said he came up victorious over the grave. He came up with the keys of hell and of death. And I say to you tonight, I'll take His word. I'll take His cure before I'll ever take the world's. He's the only one that's ever brought anybody up. He's the only one that can promise that you'll live forever. And I say the same one that promised us everlasting life, He promised that in that place there shall be no more death. You know, there's a girl that I knew years ago back when I was teaching in Christian school. She was actually a student there. Of course, now she's grown up, got her a husband, got her a young family there and serving the Lord. Praise the Lord for it. But she found out, I guess about a year or so ago, or maybe probably more than that, probably about a year and a half ago, found out she was with child. What a joyous thing. Amen. They had getting everything all prepared, getting everything all together. And finally the day came for that baby to be born. Had a little baby girl. Only thing was, she only lived just a few minutes outside the womb, outside of that mama's body. They took that little baby, that little lifeless body, and they laid it in mama's arms. And let mom and daddy name her. Let them sit there and look at her and hold her before they had to start getting the funeral arrangements together. And I remember praying for her and her husband. I remember praying for that young couple and praying for that family as they were going through that. And yet, y'all don't fault me too much for this, will you? Weeks went by. A few months went by. And those prayers started to wane. See, my life went on.
Preach it, son. We've been there.
Amen. Y'all with me on that? I don't know. Hopefully, maybe y'all have a perpetual prayer list, but sometimes mine, things get dropped.
Preaching more.
And that thing fell off the old other side of that prayer list because my life went on. I'll be honest, I went days without thinking about it. And a while back, I saw she put up a little message one day. She said, my little girl would have been 7 months old today if she lived. Can I tell you what that said to me? I thought to myself, you know something? That didn't affect me enough for me to even think about that. I went through days and months and I enjoyed myself and I did my own thing and I never once thought about it. Y'all just bear with me. But not mama. Not that mama, not that daddy.
That's right, son.
You see, every time that date would come around, they'd say, that's 1 month. That's 2 months. That's 3 months. That's 4 months. And you know all that mama and that daddy want to do? I'm trying to teach you something tonight. I'm trying to help you out a little bit. All that mama and daddy want to do is see that baby girl. All they want to do is talk to that baby girl. All they want to be able to do is live with that child that the Lord gave them. And yet they can't in this life. And I tell you tonight, some of y'all sitting here, you've got a mama and daddy that loved you and prayed for you, and they're dead and gone on home to heaven, and you wish every day you could talk to them. You wish every day you could see them. You wish you could have gotten the chance to tell them goodbye. There's some of you in here, maybe you've got children. I know there's some in our church, they have children that they had to put into that grave far too early before mom and daddy ever went into the grave. And all that mom and daddy hope for and all they wish for is, I wish I could see that child again. I'm waiting to be able to talk to them again. I wish that I could just say one more word. I tell you, there's some of you, you've got a friend or maybe a mentor or somebody like that, that you look at him and you say, I wish I could see him. I wish I could talk to him. I wish I could simply say hello. I wish that I could simply say goodbye to him. And yet, can I say, for those who are born again by faith in Jesus Christ, there is coming a day where we'll never have to say goodbye again. We'll never have to say farewell again. And the only thing we're going to say goodbye to is death, death, death. I tell you, friend, one of these days, I ain't going to say goodbye to my loved ones ever again. Praise God for it. I ain't going to say goodbye to my brothers and sisters in Christ. I ain't going to have to say goodnight. I'll see you Sunday. Goodnight. I'll see you Wednesday. We'll never say goodbye again. But I'll tell you one thing we'll say goodbye to. We are going to say good riddance to death. He said there's no more death in that place. I tell you, friend, we're going to say good riddance to those tears. We're going to say good riddance to that pain. We're going to say good riddance to death. I want to say lastly, and I'll be done, we're going to say good riddance to sin. Now I realize that one may not get as many shouts and hallelujahs as death does. But can I just go ahead and tell y'all my thoughts and my opinion on the matter? I'm more excited about sin being gone than I am death or pain or tears. You say, why? Because you want to know where your tears came from? Sin. You want to know where your pain came from? Sin. You want to know where your death came from? The wages of sin is death.
Amen.
It came from sin. And the root of every problem you've got and every problem I've got is sin, sin, sin. And when we go to that place, praise God, we're going to say good riddance to sin. Say, you mean it, preacher? Absolutely. Look down there at verse 8 with me if you would. Verse number 8, the Bible said, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now I want you to hang on to that thought. Keep that verse in mind. And turn back just into maybe a page or so. Turn back to the end of this chapter and look at verse 27 here in Revelation 21. In verse 27, talking about that same city, the Bible said, and there shall in no wise, that means under no circumstance, under no condition, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Hey friend, that's you. That's me if you've been saved. Praise God. Now you say, well preacher, what are you showing? Well, I'm trying to show you something. I've known some people that would try to take those verses and teach work salvation out of them. You know what they'd say? They would say, well, if you're a whoremonger, then that means you can't go to New Jerusalem. It means you can't go to heaven. You won't be with the Lord in eternity. Can I say something? There's going to be a whole lot of ex-whoremongers up there in glory.
Amen.
They'd say, well, you know, it said right there, liars shall have, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. Well, can I make one thing real clear? If all liars, if every person who has ever told a lie is going to be there, everybody's going to hell.
Amen.
Because you know what? I'm sorry to hurt your feelings tonight, but you're a liar. And I'm a liar. And everybody on Ball Road is a liar. And the president's a liar. And the Congress is a liar. And your lawyer's a liar. And your doctor's a liar. And your mama was a liar. And your daddy is a liar. Adam was a liar. Eve was a liar. Every last one of them were an L-I-A-R liar. Amen. I hope I've made some friends tonight. You're a liar. And so here's a problem then. How can no liar enter into that city? And yet I'm going to go there.
Yeah, excellent.
How can no liar enter into that city? And yet, Brother Bill, you're going to go there.
Amen.
How is that such a thing possible? Well, he said right there that nothing unclean, nothing that defiles, nothing that maketh a lie is going to enter into that place. How is that possible?
Amen.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because the blood of Jesus Christ,
Amen.
God's Son, cleanseth us from all. I'm talking about all tonight. I'm talking about every single last one of them. I'm talking about the ones you did when you were a baby and the ones you did when you were an adult, the ones you did when you got old. I'm talking about the ones that were in your heart and the ones that came outside. I'm saying A-L-L, all sin is cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, what do you mean then? What I'm saying to you tonight is that I've lied, but praise God, I'm no longer a liar. Hey, listen, friend, I've lusted, but I'm no longer a whoremonger. Hey, friend, listen, friend, I've had hate and murder in my heart, but praise God, in the sight of God Almighty, Morgan Lester is no longer a murderer. Because that Bible said that, listen, Jesus Christ became sin for us who knew no sin,
Amen.
That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him.
Amen.
What I'm saying to you tonight, friend, is that when God looks down on me right now, because of the day I trusted His Son, took His Son,
yes. Amen.
When God looks down on me right now, He don't see that old liar anymore.
Yes.
Glory to God tonight. He don't see that old covetous, lying, boastful, I'm talking about sinful, filthy, dirty sinner. He doesn't see Morgan Lester anymore. He sees the righteousness of His only begotten Son. And I'm washed in His blood. And I'm covered in His righteousness. So how are you going to wind up in that city then? I'll tell you why. Because praise God, His sin covered it all. His sin washed it all away. And I tell you, I'm going to a place where not only am I going to be saved from the penalty of my sin. By the way, I'm saved from the penalty right now. If you're saved tonight, you are saved from the penalty of your sin, death and hell, right now. Amen. And yet when I go to that city, I ain't going to just be saved from the penalty. I'm going to be saved from the practice of my sin. And I'm going to be saved from the very presence of all sin. Say, what do you mean? What I mean is you ain't going to have a nightly news broadcast in New Jerusalem with people out there rioting, killing people and shooting at people. Amen. You ain't going to have any more of your relatives out there smoking a crack pipe or shooting up drugs in their veins in that city. Amen. Hey, friend, you ain't going to have to worry about somebody going after your wife or trying to seduce your husband, lady. You ain't going to have to worry about that in New Jerusalem. Amen. Glory to God. You ain't going to have to worry about some lying president or lying politician coming down and trying to steal your vote and buy your vote so he can go in and do more of his garbage. You ain't going to have to lie. You ain't going to have to worry about that up there in New Jerusalem. You say, why? Because when we get to that place, we will bid farewell. We will say good riddance to all sin. It's a place that's pure and white, washed in the blood of the Lamb. There will be no sin, no uncleanness, no filth in that place. And I look forward to it.
Amen.
So one of these days I'm going to a place where I'll say good riddance to all tears.
Amen.
I'll say good riddance to all pain. I'll say good riddance to all death. Thank God for it. But praise the Lord, I'm going to say good riddance to all sin.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word tonight. I pray you'll take the message, use it to stir our hearts, use it to encourage us. Lord, use it to make us to be more Christ-like. Lord, I've heard some of these people in this world talk about being so heavenly-minded, you ain't any earthly good. Lord, but I've never met anybody like that. Lord, I had never met anybody truly heavenly-minded. Lord, I want to be heavenly-minded tonight. I want our church to be heavenly-minded. I want us to set our affection on things above, not on things of this earth. And Lord, that's what we've talked about tonight. We've talked about those things above. Lord, may we live in light of eternity. May we live in light of your glory. Lord, help us as we go out this night, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it, and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.